Your Bibles, let's take our Bibles and let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. I'm glad we got someone to call on this morning, amen. You say, preacher, are you worried about Brother Tommy Brooks? Nope. God's got it. Are you worried about Scoopy? Nope. God's got it. Are you worried about Sister Peggy? Nope. God's got it. Amen. Listen, Preacher Todd said it. In revival, I've said it over and over. If I can trust God with my soul, I can trust him with everything else. Amen. Amen. Leviticus chapter 16, when you get there, let's stand. Wednesday night service, you missed a blessing. Amen. You need to be coming on Wednesday nights. That's all I'll say. I ain't going to get into it, but I'm just saying I was going to preach this Wednesday night, and the Lord wouldn't let me. Amen. Leviticus chapter 16. Look at verse 5. "He shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering which is for himself and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering which is for himself." Now, go to verse 20. "When he hath made an end of the reconciling of the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness." God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask your hand to be upon us right now. God, move me out of the way, God, because I realize, Lord, I need you right now more than I've ever needed you. God, I thank you for answering prayer. I thank you, God, for what you're doing around this altar and what you're doing in this building right now, God, and maybe what you're doing on Facebook or YouTube, God. I pray, God, Lord, you would touch hearts, God. And God, you move in this service. If there's one that's not where they need to be, God, whether they're not saved, whether they're backslid, whatever it is, God, help them to get on this altar before it's too late. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In this passage, we're given the guidelines for carrying out the annual Day of Atonement. This was the highest and holiest day of the Jewish calendar. It was the day that the high priest allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat to atone for all the sins of all the people. Another part of this service that we overlook sometimes is the part about the two goats. And that's what I want to look at this morning. I want to focus on what this, everybody in this building has heard the term scapegoat. I thought about it as I was studying this, Skip, and a real good illustration, and for some of you younger people, you need to get your history books out for this. Google this on the internet and you can find out. Back in the mid to early 70s, President Nixon was in office. They had the Watergate scandal. Do y'all realize President Nixon never served a day? But all those people that were around him did. They were scapegoats. This is a perfect illustration today. And I want to say this before, and I want to, it took both of these illustrations, both of these goats to symbolize what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. Let's look at this now. Number one, two goats are selected. I want you to notice where they're taken from. They're taken from the congregation. These two goats were ordinary goats. They were not held to the same requirements as the atonement or the offering for the Day of Atonement. They didn't stand out. They were not extraordinary. They were not spotless, Brother Skip. They were not set aside, Robert, as we know that the offering of the lamb was. They were just ordinary goats. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. He is there's no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus in this situation was just ordinary. Jesus, when you look at him, Jesus did not stand out. He was not like King Saul. He didn't stand head and shoulders above everybody else. The reason I believe that a lot of times David, they couldn't find Jesus, he blended in with the crowd. Jesus came in a form of humbleness and came in a form of lowliness. They were selected out of the crowd. Look at their sanctification. These goats were presented before the Lord and were deemed holy. If you study it, Jesus was pure and sinless in his life. The Bible says there was no guile found in his mouth. The Bible says that he never committed one sin. Amen. And I'll say amen to that right there. He was my perfect Savior. He lived a perfect life. Hey, I'm telling you, every temptation that you've ever faced in your life was thrown at Jesus on multiple, multiple, multiple levels. And glory to God, he passed every test. He passed every temptation. He never fell one time into sin. I don't care what Hollywood says. Hey, he never lusted. He never committed adultery. He never done one thing wrong. That was a perfect situation. Amen. That's how he was able to take care of our sins. Amen. That was their sanctification. Now, I want you to notice something. They were selected. The Bible says they cast lots. Now, this was not gambling. Go back and study your Bible. This was not gambling. They cast lots. One was deemed to be the Lord's goat. There's two goats sitting there. One of these goats is going to die. And one of them's not. One of them was considered to be the Lord's goat. It was to serve as the atoning sacrifice to show what Jesus' death on the cross did for our sins. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he, now listen, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for also for the sins of the whole world. At that point, when they cast lots, and the Lord's goat was elected, all the sins of Israel for that year, all the sins of all the people were going to be transferred to him. And he was going to die for those sins. Let me stop right here and say this. You should have died for your sins. Every one of us in here was guilty. Every one of us in here has gone astray. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So I don't care how holy you think you are. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how many times you think you cover all the bases. I'm telling you right now, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says that somebody's got to die for sin. One was the Lord's goat. One was the living goat. This living goat was to serve as a substitution for the people. It symbolized the removing of their sins. That's what the scapegoat, Christ's blood paid for all of our sins. Amen. And it only becomes a substitution when we accept Jesus as our Savior. If you're here today and you're lost, you listen to me. If you don't get saved, you'll die and go to hell. Ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Even though, Brother Robert, the price has been paid. Even though, Brother Ed, that the goat has been killed, the sin has been placed upon it. Even though, hey, until you accept Jesus, what Jesus did on that cross, and until you accept him as your personal Savior, you are held responsible for your sin. One goat is sacrificed. Now watch this. One goat is put to death. The pain, and I don't want to get too graphic. There was a brutality, Chucky, to the process. That animal's throat was cut. That animal was killed. It was not a pretty sight. And you understand something. When Jesus Christ went to Calvary, it was not a pretty sight. Oh, we got all the pictures painted, and you know, we do a great job in our Easter play of depicting Jesus dying on the cross. But you understand, when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he was beaten beyond recognition. The Bible says that his beard was plucked out. Do y'all realize how much that would hurt? And do you realize how much what that would do to your face, how it would swell your face, Brother Skip? And do you realize that not only was his beard plucked out, he was beaten in the face by these Roman soldiers. He was beaten in the face. He was stomped on. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails. The Bible says that his back, the blood and the skin had been pulled off of his back. It was a brutal process. The pain that Jesus Christ had to endure, that was the Lord's goat. That goat had to die. Why did it have to die? To atone for the sins of the people. Jesus didn't die so we could have Easter. Jesus died for your sin. That's the only reason Jesus died. He took my sin and your sin upon him. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't know how some people, Clint, can just sit in church. And you get to talking about what Jesus did for him, Brother Larry. And you get to talking about the substitution that Jesus took your place. And all those stripes that were laid upon him should have been laid upon you. All the beating, all the plucking out of the beard, the nailing to the cross that should have been yours, he took. Amen. Willingly. Willingly. Now, all this was just a picture. Every single goat, every single lamb, every single ram that died throughout history was pointing to one place, Calvary. Whew. Every single little lamb, Brother Robert, that got their throat cut. Those lambs couldn't save anybody. And the people knew that. The people were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for someone to come and take care. And praise God, we know who the Messiah was. We know that Jesus Christ is fully represented of everything that I'm preaching about. Amen. One goat died. One goat was sent away. Like I said, it took two goats to portray what Jesus did on the cross. The first goat speaks of the substitutionary death that Jesus Christ did for us. The second goat shows how he took our place. Sin was transferred in this symbolic gesture. I want you to notice something. Now, all you people that think you've been too bad to be saved, all you people that think I've gone too far down that road, all you people that think that there ain't nobody could help me, you listen to this. Notice what was confessed, Matt, when that high priest laid his hands on that goat. Number one, iniquity. This word means to be bent or crooked. It refers to the bent in human nature towards sin. The word reminds us that we're all guilty of sinners by birth. Amen. You are guilty by birth. I don't care what your grandma did. I don't care what your granddaddy did. Hey, your grandmom and your granddaddy might have been Billy Graham himself. Your grandmom and your granddaddy, hey, Jesus actually had kinfolk on this earth, but they had to be saved just like everybody else did. The Bible says they confessed iniquity. Then the Bible calls it out, said they confessed transgression. This word means rebellion or to step over the boundary. This word deals with our violation of God's holy law. Yeah. All are guilty. Yeah. Right. Every one of us. Amen. Thou shalt have no gods before me. All are guilty. Right. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. All are guilty. Thou shalt not have no God. Hey, Jesus said, thou shalt not commit adultery. We all lust. We all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. We all have transgressions. And I'm just telling you right now, when they laid their hands on that goat, glory to God, they were transferring the sin of the people to that goat. It's exactly what happened with Jesus. The third thing was they confessed sin. This word means to miss or to fall short. It describes our inability, Alan, to live right we're supposed to. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do y'all realize that this Bible, nowhere in this Bible, I've said this before, nowhere in this Bible, Brother Donald Boone, is a letter written to lost people. It's all written to Christians. That means we all just a bunch of mess ups. Every one of us, from the preacher to the last pew in this building, all of us miss. We cannot, as long as we're in this flesh, we cannot live like we're supposed to. Because somebody's going to make you mad. Somebody's going to say something to you. Somebody's going to cross you the wrong way. Somebody's going to run a red light. You're going to get mad. You're going to have thoughts that run through your mind. Don't make me come back there and sit on your pew. Amen. I know if thoughts run through my mind, I know thoughts run through your mind. Amen. We all miss the mark. Every one of us. The sin was transferred. All these things were confessed. I'm going to be honest with you. I come on this altar a lot. Brother Tony, I'm on this altar a lot. And I'm asking, I go back to what Brother Robert said. And Brother Robert, since you said that in Sunday school, I have used it multiple times in sermons. Seems like a lot of time when I'm praying, I'm apologizing. But I don't know if I've ever had to come down and confess all three of those things at one time. But you know what? If I did, he'd still forgive me. He'd still forgive me. The sin taken away. The work of the scapegoat was purely symbolic. They transferred, they prayed, they transferred all the sin to that one goat. And we know that Jesus can remove sin forever by what he did on the cross. Now, I've studied this a lot. And I've wanted to preach this for a long time. And I found something, and it's amazing how you can find things when you start studying a particular subject. Listen to this. As far as the scapegoat is concerned, the Jewish set up situations or certain intervals along the way to the wilderness. So in other words, when that they chose a qualified man to take that goat that they had just transferred the sin to, they're wondering, is it going to work? They're wondering, is this going to really take place? Is my sin going to be transferred? Is my sin going to be taken care of? So they would set up stations from where the offering was made all the way to the wilderness. Here comes the fit man. He's got the goat. He's leading the goat out. He comes past the first station. They call back past the first station. He goes to the next one. Everybody back here still praying. Everybody back here still somber. Everybody back here still in that state where they're trying to get their mind right. Have you ever been down to an altar? Have you ever been down on an altar and you was praying and everybody else seemed like everybody else was getting what they needed, but you hadn't got what you needed yet. So you staying on the altar. You standing there crying. You want God to show up. You want God to touch that heart. You want God to lift that burden. You want God because you've sinned and you know you've sinned. So you're going to stay on the altar. They go to the next station, still going to the wilderness. They go to the next station, still going to the wilderness. And then there's a last station that they go by. And when that fit man takes that goat and turns him loose in the wilderness, the word starts going back. Forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. And I'm telling you, when it finally reaches where the goat was killed at, when it finally reaches where the people are at, they start worshiping. They start shouting. It ain't quiet no more because they realize that Jesus Christ was the fit man. They realize that Jesus Christ took my sins. I am forgiven. I don't have to worry about it no more. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm on my way to heaven. So somebody needs to hear this morning. You all worried about what you did this week, what you did last week, what you done. You all worried about the sin in your life. But I'm just coming to tell you this morning, you're forgiven. The scapegoat's been turned loose. His name's Jesus. And I said this the other night. The Bible says that he was led away by a fit man. The fit man is the one. The fit man is the one that come back and brought the good news. Thank God he died on a cross. He was led away to an empty tomb. He was put in there for 3 days. And for 3 days, hey, he preached to those down in the wilderness. But glory to God, on the third day, Jesus Christ came back just to let everybody know, hey, I have forgiven you. All you got to do is trust me. All you got to do is claim my blood, and you can be saved. I'm glad he was fit to be my Savior. I'm glad he's fit to be my healer. I'm glad he's fit to be my counselor. I'm glad he's fit to be my friend. Amen. I'm glad he's fit to take me all the way to heaven. I want Jenny to come back. I want her to sing. I told David when she started singing this song, I said, my Lord, that's my sermon. That's my sermon right there. Jesus took your place. You listen to me. Teenager, listen to me. Jesus took your place. Amen. Older folk person, listen to me. Jesus took your place. He was the scapegoat so you don't have to die and go to hell. Christian, understand something. I know it's hard. I know we struggle. But Jesus was the scapegoat. All your sins was transferred to him. He took it gladly. So whatever you got going on this morning, he's ready. He's ready. And he's the one calling back saying, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. Amen. I want you to bow your heads with me.